thank God for His love and His kindness. We're about to enter into another year. Pray God that He allows us to all see another year. We ain't there yet. But, we're going to trust Him all the way into that new year. We're going to trust Him to take us in and then trust Him to bless us for another year. We made one. Praise the Lord for that. It was rough. Was it rough?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some rough roads out there. There's some rugged roads out there. But He stuck with us. He was apparently pleased with something because we're still here. And not only that, He's apparently not through with us yet because we are still here. So we'll keep our ears and our hearts open to Him to see what is it, Lord, that You will have me to do, and what is it, Lord, that You will have me to be. I like that fan blowing everything over there. Well, I guess I'm going to call this my end of the year message, or the Lord's end of the year message to you and to me, of course. He had to give it to me. Got your scriptures? We're going to do some reading today. We're going to do some scripture reading, you know. So, let's just remember that. Book of Corinthians. Matter of fact, I'll kind of call out to you where we're gonna go. Do something a little different. I'm gonna start out with just one scripture in 1 Corinthians 6. We're gonna go from there to 2 Peter chapter 2. Then we'll go from there to Galatians chapter 5. And then we'll go to got to go to Romans chapter 8. Then from there we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then Philippians chapter 2. I think that's the sequence. Just to let you know. Paul made a statement in 1 Corinthians 6, 12. He said, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." This is a very powerful statement that Paul made. And if you think about what he's saying, Paul is saying, I can do anything I want to do. But it's not convenient for me to do everything that I might want to do. It's not always expedient for me to do some things. We have that kind of freedom in Christ, y'all. Lady asked me one time, they used to call me Rez in South Florida. Rez, can I play the lottery? I kind of chuckled and said, you can do anything you want to do. I said, I don't do that. I don't gamble. But, yeah, I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. The question is it expedient for you to do it? That's the thing. And so you have to be led of the Spirit with these kinds of things and with the kind of freedom. You know, God gives us a lot of freedom. More freedom than some people might allow you to have, especially and it's church people and non-church people alike. Non-church people see you doing stuff, they say, wait a minute, ain't you supposed to be a member of First Baptist Church or the Firstborn down on First Street? You ain't supposed to be doing this. And so that would be not expedient for you at the time to be acting that way. So he said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power And so he's saying that if you're not careful with some of the things that you might take up to do, you might find yourself being controlled by those things. That's what he's saying. And so it's not expedient, because you might pick up a taskmaster there that's a little stronger than what you might want it to be. It might be fun at the time, but if you're not careful, this thing will be pushing you around and telling you what to do. You know, different little habits and things that we do, and maybe that still follow us. Smoking, for instance, it's enjoyable to a lot of people, but I can promise you that cigarette tells you when it's time to have a cigarette. It tells you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're okay, and all of a sudden you're like, I'll be right back. Where you going? I'll be right back. And so, I mean, it's just an observation. I used to smoke, and I know this.
Mm-hmm.
This thing was telling me, well, okay, it's time to stop. It's time to pull over. It's time to do this now.
Yeah.
And that's a very raw kind of a elementary example. You know, it's not something that you can't control. You can't get over. It's just one of those things. But there are some things that are even greater in strength and greater in power that can get a hold of us. In 2 Peter chapter 2, before I go on, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this day in 2018. And thank you, Lord, that we are facing another new year. And we pray that we would be find ourselves worthy under your hand, Lord, to receive your instruction and to walk worthy of the calling with which you have called us. And you have called all of us. That's why we showed up.
Yes.
Because of your call. So do bless us and do help us and touch us, Lord, by your Spirit today, and cause our ears and our hearts to be open to these truths that you will present to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
2 Peter 2:19 states in part, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." And so it basically repeats a little bit of what Paul said. Whatever thing overcomes you, you're not careful, you'll find yourself in bondage to that thing that overcomes you. Now, unsaved people is one thing, but for saved people, that's something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got to admit, there was a time when I needed my Bacardi and Coke and ice. It was certain times that I wanted, you know. And it's almost like this thing had a route that it took.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it come by a certain time of the month, it's like, I'm going to get my half a pint of Bacardi, Coke, and ice. And when I had it, I was satisfied until next month. You know. And I wasn't saved, but this thing had an influence in my life and in other things as well. That's just one of many things. And so whatever it overcomes you, you could find yourself in bondage to that. So just know, be careful there what things you allow yourself to participate in, even though it's lawful to do it.
Uh-huh.
It might not be expedient to do it. Verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Now, take a couple words apart here in verse 20. It says, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, now listen, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, talking about Christians.
Yeah.
Because non-Christians don't call him Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We call him Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it shows us who he's talking to. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow to her wallowing in the mire. It's an old proverb that he just quoted in Peter. And that proverb, that old proverb, is located in the book of Proverbs, chapter 26:11. And this is what that verse says. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Folly is foolishness. Folly is being silly. As a dog returning, it's given a correlation. It's not a nice correlation. That someone that has come out of this life of folly, of foolishness, of, you know, really the word, if you will, when I looked it up, folly means silly and stupid. It's like you've got this knowledge and information, and then you go do something stupid, like by going back to what you did. Say, it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's like a pig, once cleaned, returning to the mud and stuff. That's the scripture says. Now, we have always heard how scripture, people will use scripture, and they will make up any doctrine that they want to. And it's possible to do that. If you get enough skill with scriptures, you can develop a whole new doctrine. You can have folks following you behind something, and you can use the scriptures and have them turn over to this book, turn over to that book, and you could sort of justify it just by being in the scriptures, though it won't be right, but you can justify it by scriptures. But in the same token, you can also make a statement through scriptures in the same way. And I think today, the Lord is going to make a statement to us. But just hang in there. We're starting out in rough waters. But it's smooth out. But you got to get past the beach. If you want to swim in the deep, you got to get past the breaking waves. Amen. You got to fight past those breaking waves. You got to figure out how to get past those waves. And sometimes they knock you back. Sometimes they'll knock you down. But once you can get past the breaking waves, now all of a sudden it's calm again. See? And now you can move and you can swim. And so we got to get past the breaking waves, because these initial scriptures are pretty rough scriptures. And it's telling us that this is how you're seeing when you go back to that lifestyle, especially if you go back full time. That's really rough when you go back full time. You got saved and you went back. I went back for 5 years. I was stupid. And there was nothing comfortable for me. I did the same thing I did before, but it wasn't the same. I didn't enjoy it the same. I'm driving down the street with this contraband in my car. It wasn't the same. When I was unsaved, I was going to protect my contraband. Now I'm worried if I get stopped. What's going to happen next, you see? And so I'm not just swinging at you. This is me too. I've gone back and I've seen what it's like. And it's dark and it's cold and it's impersonal. Galatians chapter 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so, number one, you can see the theme of this message is to not be entangled in the yoke of bondage. Mm-hmm. Don't go into bondage. Don't go back into bondage. In 5:16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, I want you to notice in that verse, flesh is a small letter, but Spirit is a capital letter.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's my flesh, but it's the Spirit of God. The comparison is, your flesh is fighting against the Spirit of God. Your flesh and the Spirit of God are contrary the one to the other. So our fight, unfortunately, in the flesh is against the Spirit of God. And it says, so walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, because the two are contrary. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. There's that thing called law now. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. It's a list.
Yeah.
It's a list. And so, if you wonder what that means to walk in the flesh, just turn to Galatians 5:20, and it gives you a list, which I don't think is a complete list, but I believe you can get enough from that list to know that if I'm living in these things, then I am at war against the Spirit. If you're saved and you're living in these things, then you're at war against the Spirit of God. You two, it's a contrary thing, walking in the flesh. So we have to watch that, because it's very important that we know this type of thing. Now, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Paul is writing. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." So it starts out meek and gentle. "Who in presence towards," that is, when it says in presence, it's talking about the outward appearance, the way he looks on the outside. "Who in presence am base," or "am humble among you, but being absent, am bold toward you. But I beseech you," and beseech is a word that's begging, really. I mean, it's the, you know, begging is like plead, please, oh, please, please, "I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think or reason of us as if we walked according to the flesh." They're thinking that they're walking according to the flesh. He says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And notice the difference between walk in the flesh and then according to the flesh. There are two different references that he gives. To walk according to the flesh and to walk in the flesh is two different things.
Yeah.
To walk according to the flesh, I believe, is the person that's walking and that's patterning their life after the promptings of the flesh and the desires of the flesh. To walk in the flesh is what we do. You live in the flesh. You got a fleshly body. So yeah, we walk in the flesh. We walk around in this fleshly body. But we don't walk according to the flesh. That's what he's saying. And so they were trying to accuse him of this kind of thing. Then he says, "Now the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's our weapon. Not carnal weapons. Our weapons are mighty, but it's through God that we can pull down the stronghold. We got to remember these key words. Through God is a very important word in this. You're not going to pull down strongholds in your own strength. You don't even know what that means in your own thinking. I can't figure it out. But in God and through Him, we can pull strongholds down through God. That means we have to give it over to Him. Say, "Lord, here's a situation."
Oh yeah.
And it goes on and says, "Casting down imaginations," that means reasonings and logic, "and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Even it's talking about where the warfare is. Imaginations. Thoughts. That comes against the knowledge of God. Thought processes that comes up and challenge what God's word really says. I know God is good, but that is about to challenge the fact that God is good. I know God is all power, but hold on, that's a high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So you have to get your butt out the way. You have to get your butt out of the way and let God put his butt anywhere he wants to. Let him, yeah. And it is every time you put your butt, you get your butt in God's way.
Right.
And I'm walking in the spirit when I say that. I'm in the spirit when I say it. Don't let your butt get in God's way. Right. You cast down imaginations. And I could tell you, you've seen them. You've been hit with some things where you go, now, the Bible says that God takes care of us.
Oh, yeah.
Then you look at that situation and you go, what about that, though?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you need to cast that down. Because the scripture says, is there anything too hard for God?
No.
There's nothing too hard for God. And I get it. Been there, done that. So, you know, I'm not looking down at you. You just got to know I'm not looking down at you. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just wanting to be led by God and used by God here to talk to us about his ways, about him. And so our biggest enemy would be imagination.
Mm-hmm.
It would be thoughts, high thoughts. This is where the battle is. The battle is for the mind. If you got the mind, you got the person.
Mm-hmm.
You got the person. Mm-hmm. If you can suggest to that mind some things, that person is gonna follow their mind. And so we have to be careful with our imaginations. We have to be careful with those high thoughts, the thoughts that come against the word of God, and bring it into captivity. Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And what is the obedience of Christ? Philippians tells us what that is in Philippians chapter 2. We want to bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians chapter 2. And I tried to just pick the verse out, but it's not possible. I got to read about 8 verses in order for us to get the context of this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my love, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife, for vain glory, that's empty glory. But in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. That means I should put you over my own interest. I should put your interest over my own interest. I should be concerned about you before I'm concerned about me. I should put you over me. Look to every man. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. How about that? And what mind? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Mm-hmm. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And so this death of the cross is still viable today. But it's a death of a cross that we must all present ourselves to. That we must be obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
And so that is what he will call us to be. It is what he will call us to be. Of course, we were there in Galatians chapter 5. So let's go over to Romans chapter 8. If you remember in Galatians 5, we were talking about the works of the flesh. But it didn't stop there in Galatians chapter 5. It went on and says some things about the works of the flesh. It went on there. Let's go back to Galatians. Let's just be thorough here. Go back to Galatians 5. I shouldn't rush past this. Galatians 5. We made it to verse 20. Let's go on to verse 21 about the works of the flesh. Mm-hmm. We continued on with the list. We'll start in 20. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, it goes on, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so it's very important that we be careful how we entertain the works of the flesh, and it's very important that we can recognize them as they function in our lives. It goes on here in Galatians chapter 5, and it goes to verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, the outcome, the outgrowth of the Spirit, mm-hmm. is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law.
No law.
There are no limits. You can't get arrested for walking in love. Uh-huh. I mean, not here you can't. Some places might get you, you know. But there's no law against walking in the fruit of the Spirit of love. There's no law against it. No police officer will stop and say, you're under arrest for walking, for having joy. Mm-hmm. You're under arrest for showing love. They will hail you for it. You might wind up on the news for it. You know, this man, you know how they'll show some of those stories at the end of the news sometimes. But it says, against these things as you walk in the Spirit, there's no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. That's how you crucify the flesh. You say no to it. You say no. You crucify it. I won't know. You crucify it with the affections and lust of it. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain or empty glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Let's not be that way. Let's not provoke one another. We got enough trouble in life. Don't you got enough trouble in life that you come up and provoke you?
Yeah.
You know,
amen.
Trying to hurt you. I don't like you. I don't like what you did. I don't like the way you said it. Well, pray for me. Hopefully they'll talk about you before they pray for you.
Yeah.
I'm saying we need to pray before we start talking and running our mouths. We need to pray for each other. Because what you see that you don't like in a person is a flaw.
Amen.
It's a flaw. And so don't make it your business to point the flaw out.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
You know, what kind of Christian is that?
Yeah, that's right.
And look at her. She always running. She always talking. Well, it's a flaw.
Yeah.
Pray for her.
Yeah.
It's rough, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it rough? Yeah. You pray for it.
Yeah.
Pray for them. Pray for that flaw.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you're not far from that flaw.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
That's why you recognize it so easily. And that's why it bothers you so much. You know why? Because you relate to that flaw. That's not like me.
Oh, yeah.
You're in denial. But if you're so close to that flaw until you can't stand seeing yourself, you know? And so I can relate to your downcomings and shortcomings because I'm that close to it. That's how I see it. You know, you don't see a color unless light is on the color.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you see the color orange is because orange is in the light that's reflecting off.
Yeah, amen.
It's in the light. It reflects, in other words. Orange reflects because of the light that hits it.
Yeah.
That's how you see the orange. Right. So I'm looking at Bobby, and I'm seeing this in him, and it's nothing but a reflection.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a reflection.
Mm-hmm.
So that boy needs help. You know who needs help? Mm-hmm. To me. If I'm seeing it in him. Y'all don't like that.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Y'all don't like that. But nature tells us, even nature tells us that that's how it works. It's a reflection. You look in the mirror, you see you.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times you don't like what you see.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what's there. That's you. Yeah, so we, you know, it's a tall order, but it's one that can be kept. And we're gonna look at how this particular order can be helped in Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is, therefore,
now
mm-hmm. no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus,
uh-huh.
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So if you walk according to the Spirit, there's no condemnation. For the law, see there's another law, besides the law of Moses, it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, have made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law in Christ. See, there's still a law in operation.
Amen.
You can't get away from that. There's still a law. There's a law of sin that operates in our flesh, and it works the same every time. Every time. Stimulation causes something to spin off and begin. Depending on what it is that stimulates your flesh, it'll cause it, your flesh to start to react to it. It's a law. It's a law of sin that's in the flesh.
Right.
If it's drinking,
yeah.
you know, yeah. and you see somebody got a drink in their hand,
yeah.
it starts spinning, you know. That law starts spinning. It's like, man, I could show through for a drink right now, man. Man, I swear. You know? And you know, whatever it is, if it's the opposite sex, y'all look at me now. I'm still preaching now, you know. If it's the opposite sex, ladies, and you see that good looking man, that thing starts spinning. It's a law. Laws work. Laws work the same time every time they work. The law of aerodynamics works the same every time. You get enough forward motion and speed, and then you get enough lift, and they all come together. That contraption, they call it an airplane. They say that it flies, but what it does is it overcomes the law of gravity, and it's called the law of aerodynamics. And once it gets to a certain point, it leaves the ground, and there it goes. And they say, look, it's flying. No, it's overcoming the law of gravity. And it looks like it's flying. You can say that it's flying, but it's not flapping. It's
just
got enough force behind it that it's overcoming that.
Yeah. Right.
Then there's a law of thermodynamics, you know, and of course the law of gravity works the same every time. There's not one time that with Christ that the law of gravity and Elijah, you know, and Enoch, only three men, but other than that, same time. You can say, I don't believe in gravity, I don't believe in gravity, I don't believe in gravity. But if you stand on that chair and step off,
you're going down.
It works the same. If you get on top of this building and say that, I don't believe you. You're going to hit the ground. It works the same. And I'm trying to show you about this law of sin and death.
Yeah.
It's the one that it's our battle. And that law, if it can bring us into bondage of this thing, if it can bring us into bondage, then we become bound by that particular law and that particular operation. And it's an easy thing to do because we naturally gravitate towards certain things. Natural, you know, but that's the natural part of us. That's what Christ came to overcome. And that's why we need to cast down imaginations, because the matter is more in our minds than it is in our bodies. Mm-hmm. Though our bodies are glad to participate, but it's in our minds. Yeah. It's in our minds. I went to the bank the other day, and the young lady, how you doing? I said, real good. I said, well, boy, time really seems to be going by real fast. So I'm agreeing with you. She said, does it really seem like it's fast? It doesn't seem fast to me. I say, that's because you're working.
Uh-huh.
And you're doing something you don't want to do.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
And I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
And it don't seem to be enough time in the day.
Yeah.
Well, the time passes at the same rate for both of us.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not a matter of time. It's a matter of perception.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
It's perception, see? And so if she would find something to do that she enjoyed while she was working, have a little, some cards under the table or something, or draw something, then next thing you know, it's time to go home. But she's sitting there, oh boy, the show going slow.
Yeah.
Well, you say a watch pot never boils. Well, that's not true, but it seems like it takes a moment to boil. So you're sitting there watching for it to boil. It's like, go do something else until it boils. So perception. Perception is a mental thing that happens. And you know, oh, it's so bad, so horrible, so terrible. Is it?
Is it
your perception of the situation? And so we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Now we got to remember that it's against the knowledge of Christ, because if after, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the scripture says that you've been brought out of these things, it's through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we've been made free. But then you go and you turn back again and start back with the same thing you did before you got the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They say, that's silly. You are free from that, but you turn around and you go back and again and again. And it's like, if that's your lifestyle, you see what I'm saying? Listen, everybody gets caught into things sometimes. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation where, you know, okay, I just do it this one time. But not when you get up in the morning, get started and think of my whole day. I'm going to sleep, you know, and get one more before I go to sleep and everything, you know. Sometimes you're not careful that old boyfriend will show back up.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you got to really be walking in the spirit when that happens.
Oh, yeah.
That old girlfriend shows up. Boy, you better really be walking in the spirit when that old girlfriend shows up. See?
Oh, yeah.
You got to be very, very careful that when your family member come back and say, yeah, man, you know, we used to do this all the time. How about a drink?
Yeah.
Say, man, listen, man, I stopped drinking. Oh, man, everybody stopped drinking from time to time. You know, since stopping today, why don't you stop tomorrow? Right? Come on, you know, I can't maybe drink all this by myself, man. Much as we used to hang out together, let's have a good time, man. Live high. You're gonna do the boy like that, man. You know, come on, man, one more time. And so you got to be walking in the spirit of this thing, you know. And that's a thought, and it's a high thought, and it exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ in you. And the knowledge of Christ tells you, you've been made free.
From that.
You've been made free. And then here comes somebody that you care a lot about, and they like you. They love you in their own little natural way. And, of course, they'll come. My father-in-law came and offered me a drink, and I was just getting back from the dark, you know. I got saved and back lived about 5 years, just getting back. And I said, I stopped drinking. We'll see. I said, we sure will. Never took another drink with him. And he did see. But he was, oh, hey, Raj, you want a drink? No, I'm done with that. You know, we'll see. Because I used to drink with him all the time. You know. So he know what it's like to be bound by that stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How you so free?
Yeah.
How you so different and so changed? He's like, I just came out of the dark, man. I ain't going back in that thing no more. Thank God he delivered me finally. You know, finally he delivered me. And so, hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
For the law of the spirit of life, all that came out of verse 2, huh? For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. And oh, by the way, I want to tell you a little difference between new life preaching and maybe some other preaching. New life preaching, God gets in your face. He'll sit on your lap.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I'm not the hoop and holler guy. I do holler a little bit sometimes, but I'm not the hoop and holler performance. Skip across the thing and skip across the thing. It's kind of nice. It's kind of fun to watch, you know? Chain on the
and the armor bear running by.
Yeah, man. I ain't got that kind of balance anyway, you know. What's wrong, Eddie? You okay, baby? But I believe in being led by the Spirit.
Amen. Oh, amen.
And I believe in trying to obey what He gives me. Yeah. And so some of this stuff, He'll stop me right where I am and say this. And I say it. I don't know your business, but y'all, God knows your business.
Oh, yeah.
He was there last night.
Ooh. Watching. Oh, yeah.
He was watching, you know. It was like, close the curtains and turn off the lights. Nobody can see. Oh, God sees in the dark, y'all. Yeah, you might well leave it on. God sees in the dark. The one that matters knows. And the good news is He ain't killed you for it. Thank God for His grace, y'all. Thank God for His mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Now, you can't tell others about that stuff because folks can't handle it, you know.
No.
They'll judge you, boy. They'll judge you, so you wish you were dead. Lord, kill me, you know. He's like, no, you're going to live.
Yeah. You're going to live.
It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin. In the flesh. He was in the flesh and He condemned sin. Mm. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled or complete in us. Mm. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, M-I-N-D, mind, the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Mm. For to be carnally minded is death. Death, meaning not necessarily your physical death, but the works that come out of a carnal mind are dead works. There aren't works that will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't bring any glory to God. Carnally minded. Remember, we're still talking, see, the mind, the battle is for the mind. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the carnal mind, that's the old man's mind. Uh-huh. It's enmity. That means it's an enemy.
Yeah,
it's right. An enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, your carnal mind can't even be subject to the law of God. Your carnal mind knows nothing about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can see folks that aren't saved, but they are good church-going people trying to act spiritual, and you can see that it's an act.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for the attempt, but it's an act. Amen. I can even tell when a person's, it's like, say that they're raising their hand and praising God. Mm-hmm. I can tell that it's not, there's no life behind that, that hand wave or that praise. Now, you don't bother people about it, but I can tell a difference. Right. And then when you see someone that is just worshiping God, they're just worshiping God. I'm like, hallelujah, I want some of that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I want some of that, you know. And you can tell the difference. Some folks go, when you got some where they just get just raptured in the glory of God. You know? Let me stop. And got on my arm, y'all. Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh can not please God. You can't do it. You cannot please God in the flesh. And it really is that I'll do this and I won't do that. I'm going to be this, but I'm not going to be that. Listen to me now. There's some things you should not do, but there are other ways to not do them. Now, it might be in the reading, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you this now. It's not particularly that you do them or don't do them, though it's really important, because all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. But the deal is this. It's not the doing or don't doing. It's the who you are in Christ. Because if you're in Christ, then you are a new creature. And old things are passed away and all things are new. Your tastes are not the same. It doesn't taste as good. You're a new creature. You need other food than the old creature food. It does not nourish you. And so it's who you are, as opposed to, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take that. And you're about to turn the table over, try not to do something. Well, that's the flesh, y'all. That's the fleshly mind that's trying to control the fleshly mind. And that's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. Something's going to show up. A bottle's going to show up. And you're going to find something you hid. And you're going to, you know, the flesh going to take you right to it. Because I think there's a degree of intelligence in the fleshly world. I believe that. I have it. I can't quite put my hand on it. So I'm just saying, Leroy, I believe that there is a degree of intelligence in the fleshly world that works together to fight against the mind of Christ. You get out here, you find some folks, if you walk in the flesh, y'all are bond right then. Walking in the flesh, you know. But you get out here walking in the spirit, and someone's in the flesh, y'all gonna clash just like that. Because there's enmity there between the two. Listen, it's not about it, you know, I don't know how to say this. It is about what you do and what you don't do, but it's more about who you are. Because who you are will more dictate what you will and will not do.
Amen.
It's called the law. It's called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can call it character. But it's called a law. That's another law that we are born under. Right. We're new creatures, y'all. Listen, we keep doing this stuff, and then we, you know, I'm old God, I fail God, and then there's condemnation, and nobody's condemning you but you. You know, I fail God, I shouldn't have done it this time. You're going to do it the next time, too. Until you turn it over to Him and accept who you are in Christ Jesus. And give yourself over to Him. It's who you are. And it's the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When that comes in, it changes you. And you become a whole different creature. You're not a natural creature anymore in that same sense. You still have your old nature and all of that there. But God has given you a nature that is higher and stronger than the nature of the old man. And it also has given you the authority over that situation where you can back it off. You don't have to do that anymore. There was a time when you had no choice. You did what your master told you to do.
Well,
if you say, the devil ain't going to tell me, you keep talking. If you're not in Christ, you keep talking. You're going to see what the devil going to do for you. If you belong to Him, He's your master. You're going to do what your master tells you to do. No matter what they say, I've been going to try, devil can't do it. And then you follow my 4 blocks down the road and see which way they turn. Do they turn towards home or do they turn towards the, you know, downtown somewhere? They say, wait a minute, they live down there. What's going? Follow them long enough and see what the devil do for them if they're living by the flesh.
Amen.
Y'all, it's who you are. It's who you are and who you are in Christ Jesus. And because of who you are, you're free. You're free from all of those things. But it's a matter of realizing it in your mind, and it's a matter of casting it down, because you have the authority now to cast them down. Because you are no longer under a taskmaster. You're no longer under the God of the old man. You are now under Christ.
Yeah.
And He gives you the mind, He gives you the authority, and He gives you the ability. He gives you the power, the dunamis, He gives you the power, the exousia. That means you have the power to knock it down, and you have the right to knock it down. And it can be done. The thing is, we just can't get our hands around it, and so we have trouble conceiving this power. But he's the one that said, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what folks do with that power? They go and want to go cast demons out. I got authority over this demon. I got authority over this demon. I got authority over this demon. And I got a pint of gin at home. No. The devil's going to see you coming.
Oh, yeah.
You need to deal with you. Leave them things alone until you get yourself straight. Because you ain't had no trouble until the demon followed you home.
Right.
I've had one in my car. I couldn't see it, but I sensed it. And before I parked in Miami, I pulled off to the side of the road. I said, you got to get out. In the name of Jesus. Now, I just discerned it, but all I know was I wasn't comfortable. I must have went somewhere I shouldn't have gone, you know. I wasn't comfortable. It's like, you know, whatever this thing is that I'm sensing here, you got to go. I'm not going to my house. You're going to sit right here until you're out.
Amen.
Follow me in my house. He's going to come at me with an axe or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you never know. You know what I mean? I want to know what's wrong with her. You was wrong. You was wrong with me. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Mm-hmm. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. The Bible is telling us now, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is not his. It's very simple.
Yeah.
Either you have the Spirit of Christ or you don't. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you can get it. Just turn your life over to Him. And it's a done deal. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Why righteousness? Because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not your righteousness, His righteousness in you. We got a trouble with this. We always want to be a part of everything that goes on. Well, this is a gift of God, and He gives us this righteousness. If you got a problem accepting gifts, then you're going to have a problem accepting the righteousness of God in you, because it's a gift that He gives. When Christ comes in, He gives you His righteousness. And with that righteousness, we have all that we need, everything necessary to live in life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need in Christ when He comes in. If we are ignoring that and not living by that, that's on you.
Yeah.
You belong to Christ, that's on you. Nah? You can say God ain't strong, ain't powerful as He thought. No, you're not casting down imagination.
Yeah.
And everything that exalts against, you know, the knowledge of Christ. That's on you if you allow that kind of thing to happen. See? That's on you if you allow yourself to be brought back into bondage of these particular things. If you belong to Christ, He has given you everything needful for life and godliness.
Yes.
You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And then you'll be a witness for that, through that power. Yes. You have the dunamis and exousia power. You have the ability and you have the authority. That's what He gives us when the Holy Ghost comes in. If we don't use that authority, that's something else. That's like a policeman walking down the street and watching crime go on and just turn his head and keep walking. He's got a gun and he has the authority to do it, but he's not doing anything. He's no good. Send him home. He's got the power, he's got the exousia, but he's not doing anything. He's just watching someone get beat. He's watching someone get robbed. He just continues on. You're not a policeman. You're not right, man.
Yeah.
But He's given us this. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. The quicken is to give life to. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh to live after the flesh.
Uh-huh.
But if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, that means kill, the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We must kill the deeds of the body in order to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means Papa, Daddy. Now look, it says, but we have not received the small letter spirit of bondage. We haven't received the small letter spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the capital letter spirit. That's a personal noun of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We've received the Spirit of God. And the Spirit itself should be himself beareth witness with our small letter spirit that we are the children of God. You see the interchanging of the word spirit? Large letter means God, small letter is us.
Yeah.
Large letter is God, small letter is our spirit. Bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And we are joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Glorified together. So if you can see that the battle is for the mind. It's for the mind. Sure, we fall into things, but it's the mind that's the battlefield. It's the mind. You'll be sitting up and thinking about it. It always starts with you thinking about it, see? And you think hard and long enough to go, 10 minutes, I don't know. In 10 minutes, I don't know. You start thinking, then you act. It's a matter of who you are. But you could be thinking about it and say, oh, no. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has not called me in the bondage. He's called me in the freedom. And you can, right at that moment, you can cast that thing down just by putting God's word on it. That's why we need to know the word. And it don't have to be thorough. You just need to know enough for that situation. For that situation. And then it'll expand. But we need to know that. We need to be able to do that. Again, in 2 Corinthians 10, it says, I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not what we know to do. It's not what we have the ability to do. But these weapons, in verse 4, are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginings. You understand? We sit and we ponder. And that's where the warfare is. The warfare, you think, oh my goodness, I just did this. I just did this with my hand. It's like, it happened in your mind. If it could not get past your mind, it would not get to your hand. So it's a matter of casting these things down. Right where they start is in the mind. And every high thought. So you say, oh, I did this yesterday, and I did that yesterday. You did, but where did that start? The warfare is for the mind. This outgrowth is just showing what your mind, where your mind, you know, took you. But it starts in the mind. And I hope y'all can hear this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I hope you can hear it, because you think, well, I need to throw every thing in my house containing alcohol out. I need to throw it out. I'm throwing it out. And you know how many times I got rid of my stuff? And went right, you know? Man, I called myself one morning, boys, that's it. I got inspired. I took my marijuana and threw it in the back of the garbage truck. And I watched the truck drive off. I said, oh my God, what have I done? I want to run behind that truck, but they're not going to let me get it. What have I done? That was my next thought. What have I done?
You've done something like that.
Yeah. Right. But the problem was here.
Yeah.
The problem was here all the time because I went back and found some more.
Of course.
Because my mind wasn't right.
Right.
I don't mind telling you about it.
Amen.
Just so you know that this is not an angel of light that's talking to you. It's a man.
Amen.
A human being just like you. That's been down these roads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Been struggling, you know. You know what I mean? Used to be, I stopped, and somebody would be smoking in another car, and I'm, until it got to the point that it didn't bother me anymore.
Yeah.
It didn't bother me anymore. But it took some doing for me to cast that down.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know? And after a while, it began to not smell good anymore. It began to stink in my nostrils. The think of taking a drink, alcoholic drink, kind of sickens me. You know? But it wasn't always like that. You know, but it takes, you know, you got to cast these things down. You cast them down, cast them down. We cast down imaginations or reasonings. And every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and it brings this into captivity, every thought, bring it to the obedience of Christ. That's why I say, study your word, eat the word.
Yeah.
If you don't feel that you can read good, y'all, somebody has recorded the word for you. You can put it on your phone and let your phone go. Just put it and let it read to you. And I promise you, as you hear the word, parts of it will jump out at you.
Yeah.
You know, wow, where is that? Then you can go find out from somebody. Where is that? Where is that in the Bible? You know why? Because something came alive in you.
Yeah.
You're ready to hear that part of the word. But you need to, y'all, are y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
You need to get that word, man. You know, rather than listen to doo-wop on the car radio, put a CD in there, man. Put some preaching in. Let somebody feed you during the week.
Yeah.
This ain't enough. One day is enough. Yeah. Let somebody feed you during the week. It ain't going to hurt. It'll help.
Yeah.
It'll help you cast down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I think this is the statement that God has given me. Yeah, sure. You know, we did all this stuff and we can do this and we handle this. And, you know, I did this last week and but it started in your mind. Huh?
Yeah.
That's where the real battlefield is. When the battle of the mind, you won.
Yeah.
Because what makes it past your mind makes it to your hand.
Yeah.
It gets your feet a moving.
Yeah.
You find yourself going because the mind sent it there. So if your mind sends you to the word, then you're going to pick the word up.
Yeah.
Pick it up and say, what do I read? Mm-hmm. Well, you know you're talking to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you might, a scripture might come to mind, and you might drop it open on something.
Yeah.
Read it. Just read it. And let the Lord bless you, y'all.
Amen.
Change your habits.
Yeah.
Change what you do in the sense of being led by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Let the Lord lead you for a change. And don't condemn yourself. You know, if you don't know, you don't know. But today you should know.
Amen.
The battle is in the mind.
Yeah.
And that's where it starts. And that's where it should end, in the mind. And the victories are won or lost in the mind.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your word today, Lord.
Thank you.
We magnify you and glorify you, Lord. Hopefully we've done what you wanted done and said what you wanted said. We pray that you will help us, Lord, to remember this last message of the year. Help us, Lord, to start afresh anew with a renewed mind. Again, oh God, to trust you for guidance, for any help that we need, and particularly for the spiritual victories that are ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve.